Blog Talk Radio.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray.
Hey, good evening. We just want to welcome you to the DNK Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradiochaostalkwithderekoliver, or on the phone at 845-277-9094. We just want to say we want to welcome you. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend and you started your Monday off on a good note. Again, we just want to thank you for joining us for DNK Bible Break. I have my co-host, my wife, my friend, my lover, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening and happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We just want to thank everyone for joining us. All those that join in, that can join in every week or however often you can join in, we just want to say thank you. We definitely appreciate it, and again, we hope you keep joining us, and not just us, but all the other broadcasts we have on our Chaos Network. It is a blessing, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to come and be able to vent, be able to try to teach, to be able to try to be as real as we can, as transparent as we can, and hopefully we're helping or causing a conversation. If we can cause a conversation, I think we've done our job, and we just want to say again, thank you for all those that listen on a daily basis, or those that listen every Monday, or every time we open the air that you're on the air. We just want to say thank you, and we appreciate it. With that being said, tonight, I'm kind of all over the place tonight. I'm going to try to keep focused. We're going to try to talk about the favor of God and how God has favor on us. If you look at it, I believe everyone is touched with favor. And the way I look at it, and this is just me on a personal note, I think that I'm favored on every day that I wake up, that he shows favor for me. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we jump into it, I'm going to ask my wife if you have any comments. If not, you can open us up in prayer and we can get started.
All right. I'm just going to open us up in prayer and get started. So, Heavenly Father, come to you this evening. Just thanking you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. Thank you for the activities of our limbs. We ask that you be in the midst on tonight. Your spirit is welcome. Reduce us and increase your spirit within us to give us the right words to say to your people. That someone may receive what's being said, not just for it to be null and void, but everything that goes out, make it, spike up a conversation amongst the people, so that way, we get to talk and show your greatness. Father, just let your will be done on today. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We want to thank all those for joining us on tonight. We're going to talk about favor. Before we talk about favor, I am going to throw my wife on the spot on a little bit. She's going to be all over the place tonight. But I just wanted to, first of all, thank the Lord that my wife's mother had surgery this morning, and she came out 100% okay. Everything was a success. Am I right, wife?
Amen. Everything went well, and my mom is actually sitting. She didn't want to go back to her room after they did the procedure. She wanted to go and sit and play bingo with the rest of the residents. So
So we're going to be talking about favor, and the reason I want you to start with that, just briefly, just a quick brief, I just want you to give a quick shout-out testimony about your mom, things she's been through. I just want people to see the favor, how the favor of God can, just the favor of God is on her life, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. In 2016, my mom went into cardiac arrest. At the time, she was 56, if I'm not mistaken. She was young, 56. She went into cardiac arrest, and they pretty much said she wasn't going to make it, and if she did make it, she would be a vegetable. And we had one hospital telling us to go ahead and remove her from the machines, and like, you don't want her to live like this, and just go ahead and let her go. And Uncle said, okay, we're going to go to another hospital. So we had my mom sent to a different hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, who, you know, they're more specialized to deal with better situations than the hospital we were at from the get-go. So we get to the next hospital, and my mom, she's on life support. The machine was breathing for her. She had no activity, no kind of brain function, anything. Nothing was going. There was no kind of activity. And I have four sisters. So me and my four sisters, we stayed up there day and night. We slept there. We showered there, everything. We were just there. And somebody was always in the room with my mom. And we prayed and prayed. And by the grace of God, my mom, she calls almost every day. She can dial your number. She can talk to you. She may not have the full function of her legs, and that's due to strokes and things like that that hindered her from being able to use her legs. But she's still here, and she's aware of what's going on, and she can hold a conversation and do everything else. So by us listening to the Lord, and by God's grace, God's favor, all of that, he allowed her to still be with us and in her right mind. So we're grateful for that. That's a short version of it.
God's favor. I just want to let because we're talking about how favor, and when you have God's favor, you know, when people says no or give you bad news, it's always up to the Lord and you know, to have the last say. And a lot of times he gives favor to us. And sometimes we don't even know that we have his favor. I know we know about grace and mercy, but sometimes God just goes over and beyond what he, you know, sometimes should do. And he just has favor over us. And I'm a witness of his favor, he touched my body, and I'm just quick to, he healed me from not just cancer, from other things as well. And his favor is continually is over my life, day in and day out. And sometimes you can just see it, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be with God's favor. But if you're in the presence of God, and I guess this is where we're going to go. If you're in the presence of God and you have his presence, or you're around his presence, you know, there's an overflow where you can just get blessed just from other people. People you know, don't know, they can just bless you. And it's not always money. It's not always, but they can just bless you with a word. They can bless you with money. They can bless you with anything. They can just bless you with knowledge. They can bless you with, and this is what I consider the favor of God, because as I get older and mature in Christ, I ain't saying I'm all the way there yet, But as I get older and mature, you start to see God's favor working just in conversations. A month ago today, I said I wasn't gonna eat red meat. I was done with red meat for 30 days, and I pretty much stuck to the commitment.
You did it,
but. But you know, I owe, you know, my wife, because she makes it seem easy when it comes to fasting and certain things. This wasn't a fast, this was just something I wanted to do on my own. It's to sacrifice something that I really loved and see if I could do away with it. And I did. You know, it was easier now that I'm done with it than in the very beginning. And you know, I owe my wife and a special shout out to Evangelist Stanton, because they make it seem easy. And this is having the favor of God, because you have people in your ear that will give you a word, and you can take that word and you can, you know, put it in your pocket and use it. You know, it's favor. God's giving you something. He's giving you something to use to go through hard times, because it was hard at first, and they told me the first 3 days is the hardest, and I watched my wife do it with red. I watched her do it like it was nothing, like it was like she couldn't stand red meat. And you know, we grew up, but we dated and we went on a lot of restaurants where she ate a lot of hamburgers. And when I say that because the way she stopped, I think it's all going almost 2 years now. She hasn't had it, and she hasn't craved. She hasn't been. It just made it seem easy. And then we went out to dinner with Stans one day, and Evangelist Stan was telling me on more than one occasion about how easy it was for her to just stop and to fast, and how, you know, the first 3 days, you get through the first 3 days. I'm not gonna say when I heard it the first time I didn't believe it, but now, you know, and again, I'm just sharing some words with y'all on tonight, but we want to talk about the favor of God, because when you're in his presence, a lot of times people can give you a word, and it's coming straight from the Lord. You may think it's from that individual, but it's strictly from God, and he's trying to show you something through people, through their actions and through their words, and not everything is bad, but sometimes people can give you something that you can use. And on yesterday, just something real simple, I just want to say this simple. Yesterday, well, over the weekend, my wife had the grandkids at the house, and we had my godson, her nephew, was here, and the goal was to take him to church with us on Sunday morning. You know, it was planned. We knew about it, you know, and it was just something we was going to do. And the funny thing is, they've been to church before. It's a little different this time because they, you know, they haven't been in a minute, so this is the first time. Ages 6, 4, and 2. And, you know, came to church on yesterday. And because of them, and not because of me and my wife, not because of who we know or anything like that, but they were blessed because they was in the presence of God. They was in the presence. They showed up. And this is, I'm trying to say this to people who may don't have a relationship with Christ. If you just show up and you get in the presence, God will bless you. Because these little babies came to church, and you know, I didn't want the theme to be, well, how did they get blessed? They were just blessed. Someone blessed them. And not that they'd never seen us before. They see us all the time. They saw them. The Lord put something on their heart, and because they was in the presence of God, God led them to do that for them. So, you know, when we get home, it's not like, that's one of their friends from the church gave it. See, I don't want that to be the attitude of the house. The attitude of the house, no. These kids was in the presence of God, and they were blessed. And see, when we start thinking like that, when you go to the house of God, it's not that you're going to get anything, but when you're in his presence, someone may take a hold to you, and they want to bless you. And maybe give you something that you need right then and there. You may be going through something that you need right then and there. And I'm not going to lie, because my wife's grandson walking around with a baby doll, I have an issue with that. But that's my issue, and that's not what we're going to talk about.
It's a boy.
Say that again.
It was a boy.
It's still a baby doll. Still a baby doll. So when I seen that the night before, I'm like, okay, we got to go get this boy a football, basketball hoop. Not that we don't have one here, but the presence of it. It just needs the presence of something, because that just bothered me, and every real man know why it would bother them as well. It just, you know. If it was an action figure, a Spider-Man doll, or something like that, this was a real boy baby doll. Trick
me. Side note on that. Let me just do a side note on it. I understand your stance on it, and I understand a lot of men's stance on it, but at the same time, I know it's a man's job to be rough and tough, but they also need to be able to nurture too. And that's just on a side note. I don't have a problem with my grandson with his little boy doll, because he's a boy, and he just because he has a boy doll doesn't make it anything bad. And I think it's because the way we grew up, everything is just, there's a label. But anyway, we're not going into that. But and on a side note, I didn't see nothing wrong with the boy doll.
No, he has a kitchen to cook in too,
so I don't see nothing wrong with any of that. So, are you done talking?
I really am trying to be, because, you know, I just wish you just let me get that out of the way and just kept it moving, but you added some pieces.
I don't want to sidetrack you.
I'm trying to talk about favor, but anyway, someone blessed him with a slide and a swing, and on the side of the slide was a basketball. And I was like, thank you, that's exactly what this boy needed. And, you know, God does. He knows how to move. But the thing, what I'm trying to say is, I don't want people to get off on the baby doll or any of that. But it's just the fact, when you go into the house of God, there are people there that's in the presence of the Lord. They can see things and they can feel things. And when you are obedient, because everyone in church, and we're not going to get off on the church folks either, because there's a lot of hypocrites and bad people in church as well. But there are a few, not a lot. A few that has the presence of the Lord, and when they get, and when you feel the presence of the Lord, they will know how to operate. And as we was in the presence of the Lord all weekend, it's just some things I just want to share real quick. You know, Saturday was one of them days that, you know, it's been very, we've been blessed. We've been able to go out and help feed the community. But prior to us going out, Saturday, it was very cold. My wife had a, I want to send a shout out to your prayer group too as well.
Amen. Power of Prayer.
Power of Prayer is a group of women, and they're all from different churches, and they come together, and they have prayer together. They even have a Bible study together. And it's not over, there's no church over, it's just a group of women who are godly women, God-fearing women who come together for prayer, and they have a Bible teach, and they try to uplift one another.
Yeah.
What I like about that group is that they're all different backgrounds, but they can come together through the Word of God and encourage one another. So my wife went to her prayer walk that morning, and it was cold. The devil didn't want us to go because it was cold out Saturday morning. We were supposed to give out food. It was cold. I was hoping and praying and looking for excuses not to do it. But again, when you're in the presence of the Lord, things happen. And when things happen, you can have a conversation with someone, and like I said, he can give you a blessing. So being out, we gave out over 20 bags, 30 bags of groceries, and we fed people hot dogs and gave them chips and juice to the little kids. We were being a blessing, which is always, when you do that type of stuff, it always puts you, it makes you feel good because you're serving the Lord when you don't have to. And it's really not forced, but you're making a sacrifice to help somebody else. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because when you have the favor of God, I'm going to tell you about the favor in a few minutes, and we're not going to be on long tonight. It's just it's a great thing when you can just, and you don't have to be deep. You ain't got to be an elder. You ain't got to be a pastor. You ain't got to be, to have the favor of the Lord. And a lot of us have it, and we don't even know it. And like I said, as we went through the weekend serving the Lord, and when I say me and my wife, because we're a team, when we make sacrifice to serve the Lord, the favor of the Lord is on our life. So with that being said, I just want to just thank the Power of Prayer team for this, for them working with my wife and everything, and also the people that came out, Praise Tabernacle Church, for extended arms to help pass out the groceries and to help for those that donated. You may not have been able to come help, but if you gave something in the pantry, we much really appreciate it, and we just want to thank you for all your support. Anything you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, if I can, I just want to touch a little bit on what you said so far. Now, I know we're talking about favor, but I want to just say something about grace, because I believe grace and favor go hand in hand. And I had a situation on Friday, and I got stopped by the police. I was speeding, and I knew I was speeding. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So I pull over, and the officer comes over, and I said, I know. I knew I was in the wrong. And he was like, okay, license. He said, I don't need your insurance. I already have it, license. So I give him a license. He come back, and I'm like, okay. He said, I'm just going to give you a warning. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I said, God bless you. Because I knew I was in the wrong. And I'm like, you know, just not thinking. Something was going on Friday. My brain was all over the place. I was not thinking right. And I was in the zone, and I was speeding. And I was thinking about God's grace. Because, you know, God's grace is something that a lot of us take for granted as well. And then, you know, grace goes with favor. So grace is God blessing us in spite of our unworthiness. So I was guilty. I deserved a ticket, but by the grace of God, he did not give me a ticket. And favor is the tangible evidence that you have the approval of the Lord. So that's the tangible. So when you talk about the favor, the word favor throughout scripture is defined as acceptance, delight, grace, honor, and blessings. God's favor opens doors that no man can open. God's favor makes the impossible possible. And I spoke about my mom. That's God's favor. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. And favor is God stepping into your situation to make a worthwhile difference. So we all experience favor from time to time. If not every day, we all experience favor. I think you mentioned that at the top of the show as well. Every day we experience some type of favor of God. You waking up your eyes in the morning, getting out of that bed, that is God's favor on you. It is mainly a function of surrender. So there's a scripture, Psalms 84:11, it says, no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. We position ourselves for the favor of God, but walk in humility and purity. So the favor of God is something, like I said, it's something that we can, it's tangible. I'm out of job. I can't explain how I got it. I have a lot of things that I can't explain, because it's all I can do is point you to God, because everything that happens is God's favor. So if you don't hold out on God, he won't hold out on you. You know, you surrender. Favor comes with obedience. It comes with obedience. So it starts by surrendering your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So you want the favor of God, surrender your life to Christ and watch the favor of God over your life. There is a couple of so many scriptures in the Bible, so many stories in the Bible where you see the favor of God. I think about Noah, who found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and that's in Genesis 6 and 8. If you want to read that, God saved him and his family, you know, from the destruction of the flood. That's God's favor. You look at Ruth. Ruth found favor with Boaz, you know, because God, because of God's goodness. You can read the book of Ruth. It's a great book. Favor. That's all favor. Favor. Mary, the mother of Jesus, found favor with the Lord. You can read that in Luke. Favor. There are so many things where you can see the hand of God and the favor of God. And if you trust him in your life and, you know, trust that his favor will meet you at the start of every day, he's waiting on you. Surrender. Surrender to him and watch the favor of God. Like I said a few minutes ago, don't hold out on God and, you know, he won't hold out on you. Go ahead, husband.
Amen. No, you're fine. You're rolling. Also, you know, I just want to send another nugget out. I don't want people to think, you know, because my family, when we talk about my wife and myself, you know, her mother having surgery, her daughter has to have surgery. We're in some trying times. So when I say trying, it is the fact that, you know, that there are going to be some bumps. But we know that we have the favor of God, the grace of God that's going to see us through the situations that we're going through. It's not always, we're not always on the mountaintop. Sometimes you got to come in the valley. And when you're in the valley, you got to put in the work. And when you put in the work, the Lord will have his favor over us as we're going through some hard. And when I say hard, it's okay to go through difficult times. Me and my wife both know that the Lord is leading and guiding us. That's why I praise the Lord for this platform that we have. I put posts out, and I normally don't talk about numbers, but every month where every show takes a number, a count of how many people hear what is being put out. And when you hear how many numbers that gets put out on a monthly basis, it's overwhelming, and I can't explain how we get to that number. They ask me, how do you get to that number? And I can't answer the question. But it's because of the Lord's favor. The Lord's favor is on my life where, you know, now I can start bragging about how God is just opening doors for me in so many different areas of my life. I'm going back home, God's willing, for Mother's Day. My flight was already paid for. It's already taken care of. Just through my Blog Talk Radio, it's just God has favor on me. Every time I go somewhere, someone's had some type of favor on my life, or I can't explain how things happen. They just happen. And a lot of times, you know, I'm thankful for that. Now, today was the day, you know, again, I understand we got to go through some things, you know. IRS come knocking on the door, and I don't literally mean they was knocking on my door, but there's some issues that I've had back in the past with IRS, and, you know, I've always was taught there's two things or two people you don't mess with. You don't mess with God, and you don't mess with the IRS. Well, I got to go deal with some stuff with the IRS, which is uncomfortable because I haven't done anything for them to be messing with me. You know, it ain't like, you know, I'm balling out millionaire, anything like that. But, and it's a simple mistake, but it's just dealing with that. It can get you in a bad mood. It can get you to think about things and see things a different way. Because today, I'm going to be honest with you, my mind isn't really where it needs to be because I allowed something to affect my thinking. And it ain't nothing but the devil because he tried to get you with your mind. And instead of looking at the glass half full, you look at it half empty. You start complaining. You start looking at things in the flesh. And see, the last couple of weeks, I've been looking at things in the spiritual. And the devil tried to get me in the flesh through family. Couldn't do it. So now he tried a little different trick. And just my mindset wasn't right. I was telling my wife, my mind just ain't there today. It's just trying to play tricks on me. And this is why it's good to have a platform to be honest and to have people pray for you. because some people can give you a word that you need and it can take you to the next level, that you don't fall into the flesh and fall into that trap that a lot of people fall into. That's why it's very important that when you serving the Lord and you go to church, you surround yourself with people. You don't have to like them, but surround yourself with people who have, they surround themselves around the presence of God, because they can always give you something. And when they give you something, it may not be, if you're looking at it in the flesh, it's just, oh, that's all that it is. But when you look at it in the spiritual, it's a totally different light. Someone gave, like I said before, and I'm using this as my theme, someone gave the grandkids a swing set because they was in the presence of God. So this is to people who are listening, and I know Easter's coming up Sunday. My thing is to you, get in the presence of God. He will have something for you. Trust me. The little baby was walking around saying that was his when he was claiming it. And I see, I could look at it in the flesh, but look at it in the spiritual. Looking at it, he was claiming that was his. See, pretty soon, I have to have the faith, because I'm the head of the house, I have to believe, okay, he's claiming it. He's going to continue to claim it. He's going to continue to claim it. And then pretty soon, it's going to be, what is he claiming? He's claiming the Lord Savior as his Savior, because he was surrounded by the presence of God. He's going to remember that. They're going to remember that. They went to church, and they were blessed. Like I say, a lot of ignorant people be like, oh, Elder Oliver and Sister Kay, the new people, they just was blessing. No, that's not what that was about. It's more deeper than that. And the person that gave, and I'm not going to say their name, just for the simple fact, I probably will say their name in the near future, about giving, because they always give, so it's not nothing new to them. But like I also say, is when you're in the presence of God, this is nothing new to them. And like I said, it's good to surround yourself. But when you surround yourself, you also got to know how to accept the favor, accept what God is giving you, and don't look at it the way other people look at it. Because now, like I said before, the foundation has been set. Not that it wasn't already set, but it's even set more clearer, because now when you're in the presence of God, you should always leave with something. Even when we go to church, I go to church, my wife goes to church, we should leave with something. Don't just go there and leave the same way you came in. But you should leave with something. And if you're around a few people, everyone in the church don't have the presence of God. There's only a few selected people that has the presence. And when you're in, you know what, Lord just gave me this life. When you're around the presence, if you don't want to feel the presence, if you're just there just to be there, if you're there for show, then the presence of God will bother you. It will make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It would. It will make you uncomfortable. So when you see people and they make you uncomfortable, it's because the presence is to the Lord, and it's making you uncomfortable because you're in the flesh. I hope I'm making sense. But yeah, I feel like I'm talking a lot.
You know what?
Go ahead.
The funny thing is that you said that I'm working on something about transparency, and in my notes I have God's word comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. So when you're comfortable, that word is gonna get you.
Right.
Make you feel uncomfortable.
Right. And again, you know, I don't talk when I talk, and I like I said, when I get behind the microphone, you know, ain't no telling what I'm able to say, because I feel I'm being led by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And when I say this, I know I'm going to hurt some feelings. I know I'm going to get some phone calls. But your leaders aren't supposed to be your friends. So let me say that. Your leaders aren't supposed to be your friends. And I don't look. And I'm learning this. I just learned this year. My pastor, the other elders, the ministers, the evangelists, they're not my friends. Because when you have friends and you don't agree with your friends, you have a falling out. But when you're walking the way the Lord wants you to walk, sometimes they're going to offend you, because
the truth will set you free. And sometimes the truth hurts. You don't want your friends hurting you. You don't want your friends disagreeing with you. Me and my wife, we have disagreements all the time. The word has to, and sometimes they hurt. So my wife will tell me some things I don't want to hear because it's going to hurt. And I have to react. I have to change in order to do better. And vice versa, I may tell her something that's going to hurt her, but it's the truth. And the truth will set it free. And see, when we start lining up thinking when you go to church that that's your friends and they're supposed to agree, you can't agree with sin. You can't agree with it. There ain't no way in the world you can agree with sin. And all of us at some point in some areas of our life have sinned. Someone has to be the person to tell you, you got to fix that. But most friends will agree with you when you do your sin. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do it. And when you start doing that, you're going to start losing.
Those ain't real friends.
Say that again.
Those aren't real friends. Real friends ain't going to co-sign with everything that you do. That's not true.
They're not. But then again, like I said, you shouldn't look at people because, you know, you can have a falling out with a friend because they're not going to agree with your sin. And as long as they don't agree with your sin or they can't talk, you know, some people you can't talk about certain stuff with because they know they're wrong. And then, you have to be careful. And all I'm trying, as I'm learning, surround yourself. You ain't got to hang out with them every day. You don't have to surround yourself with people who's connected to the Lord because they will be the ones that, oh, this is how you get to the next level. They will gladly take you to the next level, gladly take you to another level. It's very important that you surround you. And I'm learning this as I go. I'm learning this as we go out and we pass food out in the community. I'm learning, not that I didn't know it before, but it's a difference. It's a difference. And all we want to do is strike a conversation with people struggle with, the people that you tell it to all the time, and they don't never say nothing. You need to watch them type of people because they don't want you to go to another level. And see, it's just like my wife get on me a lot of times. And this is one thing we did. I don't really care about church folks, pastors and preachers that's pimping the church, pimping in the church, pimping around the church, and won't tell the truth. This is why churches, you don't see people getting saved. You don't see people getting healed. You don't see people getting delivered. How can you heal somebody if you don't believe it? How can you tell someone they can be delivered when you're doing the same thing they're doing? How can you, so there's an issue with that, and I have an issue with that. You know, I'm trying to be whole all the way. I'm trying to be whole in every area of my life. I don't want isolated blessings. And you have a lot of people in the church. You have some of them that's healed, that's been healed, but they're miserable. You have some people in the church that are that can be a blessing, but then again, they are hell raisers. They're not whole all the way through. And see, if you want that peace of God that you can go to sleep every night peacefully, and you got to surround yourself around the right people, the people that's going to hold you accountable for who you say you are. And then when sin come around you, it should bother you. You should want to talk about it. See, I'm not going to go there because I'm going to get church folks offended. You come to church Sunday after Sunday, church, but there's nothing coming behind you. There's no blessings behind you. There's nothing. Some people just want to come to church just so they can preach. Well, let me just tell you something. It's not that easy. All the hell I got to go through, it's a privilege to be behind the pulpit because born, I can give you something that the Lord is showing me. It's just not for show. It's not just to get a pat on the back. It's not just for that church life, but it's for the life of me serving the Lord. And when you have the favor of God, that's between you and the Lord. So I can brag about how God is blessing me. And then people say, no, you're arrogant. No, I'm just anointed, and God is my Father. Excuse me. And another thing, I'm just going to throw this out there too. And I think we'll probably get into a little debate about this, about generational curses. You know, I used to believe that, but the other day I was reading something. And wife, I'm just at a different level right now. There are some things in my family I believe that are generational. But if we're the seed of Abraham, how can we be cursed? I'm just throwing it out there. I ain't saying I'm right. I ain't saying I'm wrong. I'm just looking at it a little differently right now. I am the seed of Abraham. And if you don't know what that means, I'm going to give you a homework assignment and look it up. And then I'm Christ-like. And as soon as I accept Christ as my personal Savior, I cut ties with all of that other stuff. That's just me. I can't help what my brothers and cousins and aunts and I can't help what they do in their walk. That's them. But as far as me, I don't have to be connected with that. So I don't know if I'm generational cursed or not. If you ain't walking with the Lord, you're liable to have it anything because, you know, I'm not in this world. I don't participate in that. I don't know how that stuff works out there. But I know when you become Christ, you're a new creature. It ain't like it's supposed to be. It's different. We're different. We're not like everybody else. So when people say generational curse, I used to say that. Let's break the curse. The only way the curse is going to be broke is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you know him, he can take you through some things. He'll take you on. You have some benefit that you don't have to go and struggle like that and everybody else. But if you don't know him, then you're liable to have to deal with some stuff that, you know, your daddy did, your mama did, your brother did. You may have to deal with some stuff. My brother, my oldest two brothers, drank heavily. It skipped me. I never had an alcohol problem, but I was around it all the time.
So let me just step in right there. You just messed up all my little notes. I have other stuff that I want to say about favor.
Go ahead and talk about favor then. You go right on ahead. Just ignore me.
Sorry, Jack. But let me just say this about what you just said. You don't have an alcohol problem, right? Let me just say this. My dad, donor, I know he has an alcohol problem. So that being said, I don't know if I have an alcohol problem. I don't want to take the chance of trying alcohol to see if I have a problem. So when you say, Jenna, I don't think a lot of the times there's a pattern, and a lot of times people, they fall into a pattern. They may not even know that their mama used to do it or they uncle used to do it. They just fall into a pattern, and it's like, I don't know why I do that, but this is how I do it, or this is what I crave or whatever. I don't even want to go into generational curses because your take on it is that you don't believe in it, but I believe that there are strongholds that have people bound, even people who have accepted Christ into their life. They're still dealing with things. So I don't want to say that just because you got saved and all that stuff goes away, because that's not reality. Some things, yes, God can just wipe away and take the taste, but some things you might have to work through. There may be a process that you have to go through. So, you know, in my family, we don't have any men. Every male is like under 50. So we don't have any older men. They've all passed away or, you know, died of various things. And it's like, personally, that looks like a generational curse to me. But when you pray and you say the bus stops right here with my son, it stops with my nephew, it stops. You gotta break some things off. So I'm not gonna say that they don't exist. But you got to believe in the power of prayer, and you got to do the work to do what you need to do, fast and pray about some situations. So I can't say that I don't believe. I don't even want to say believe, because that means I'm believing in something, but I've seen it.
Well, if you look down the line, I've seen it myself, but at the same token, when you accept Christ into your life, it's different. You're not the same. You're not like everybody else. You said it yourself. You're not like everybody in your family. You're a donor. Can be an alcoholic, and you don't know how because you don't drink. Well, why don't you drink? It's because you don't drink. Because of why? Because what you believe.
I don't know what. I don't want to open. I don't want to give the devil no room.
When you say open,
I don't
want to
give him no room.
Okay, so let me ask a question then. So you mean to tell me you say sanctified right now? You mean to tell me you knew that you wouldn't have an alcohol problem, you would drink?
I mean, I'm not saying that, but if I wanted to, I could if I wanted to. I mean,
yeah, you could if you wanted to, but why don't you?
I mean, cause I don't have a desire. I don't have a desire.
Well, why don't you have a desire? Okay, you're still not asking. Why don't you have a desire?
Why are we going on this area right here?
Because, you know, there's a stigmatism out there that people think that there's generational curses. And like I said, I'm on something right now.
Let's do this one next week, because you're bringing out stuff. I need to study. My brain can't just go with the flow the way you can go with the flow. I need to study and get my scriptures.
Well,
I can't just.
Okay, well, we can get you some scriptures, but like I said, the one thing that I do know, that I know for a fact is when you accept Christ, you're different. You're not like everybody else. I'm different. I'm set aside. I'm chosen. I was chosen to be over here. I choose to be over here. And when you choose to be over here, there's a lot of things that's in the world that I don't have an alcohol problem. I don't have a drug problem. I have other issues. Yes, I do. But what I'm saying going forward is it's just not a generational, I don't want to say that. And I don't want to put it out there I'm going to move on. I just want, you know, everyone to understand that when you accept this lifestyle, there's a certain lifestyle you have to live. And when you live this lifestyle, and like I said, we're talking about favor. I have favor. I don't have the desire to do certain things. There's certain things that I do that I shouldn't do that I do, you know, try working on. But I'm trying to be made whole in every aspect of my life. So when there's things that I look at in my family that I see that they do, and you can do the same thing with yours. Anyone can look at it and see what they do. Okay, they do that, but you don't do it. You know what happened when you go to the family barbecue. You know there's going to be certain sections that do things that you don't do because that's what they like to do. That's what they do. Not you do it. You didn't remove yourself from that. And because they do it, okay, they doing it because it's an enjoyment to them. Because that's what they want to do.
And it is by God's grace. It is by God's grace, God's favor, God's mercy that desire is not there, that we are set apart. It's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing.
It would be hard to see.
It's nothing that we do as individuals. It's nothing that we do to say we earned this and we earned that. It's by God's grace, unmerited favor. So I hear everything that you're saying, but it's by God's grace. And because we're obedient to Christ, that's where his favor comes into play, because we're obedient to him. I'm going to steer us back to his favor. So I wanted to give the people Matthew 5, verses 2 through 11. And Jesus proclaimed the favor of God. And this is talked about, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and Beatitudes, where he speaks to the people's heart. It starts with our heart. If our heart is changed, then a lot of things that, if you want to say generational curses, a lot of these things change with our heart changing for Christ. He creates a new heart. He gives us the right spirit. So there is a change that takes place So, no, you don't have the desires to do what this person does or that person does. And by the Lord changing our heart and by us being allowing him to make the change in our life, we're surrendering our will for his will. And if we don't surrender our will, then, yes, we will do everything that everybody else does. But there is a difference between the world and a child of God. Clearly, there's a difference. So if we're acting like the world, then something is wrong. There should be a difference. We have been set apart. And with the Beatitudes, the Lord speaks to our heart. He spoke to the people's heart. Every spiritual blessing is our birthright. It's our birthright. So the favor of God, it extends to us in the spiritual realm, and in the material realm, the physical realm, the mental realm. Everything is based on the Lord and his favor and his grace. So I'm going to say for the people, look at your life. If you're already blessed and you see that you're blessed, then you see the favor of God. That's the favor of God. Everybody should be able to see if you are a child of God and you're being obedient and you're walking according to what the Lord's word says and you're surrendering your will for his will, be thankful for where you are in life. Be thankful. I'm going to do my last scripture and I'm going to let you have your way. Psalms 90:17 says, let the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon us. That was Psalms 90:17. The favor of God is what God can do for me that I cannot do for myself. That's the favor of God. I don't have the power. This is all according to God. And if I obey him, if I give him the glory, he'll continue to bless me beyond my abilities and beyond any resources that are out there. So the favor of God. Nothing like it. Be thankful for it every day that you wake up. I pray that the Lord starts your day with his favor every day. I'm going to let you finish your phone out. I just wanted to get my little part in there. Now you can continue on. Thank you.
I told you before we came on the air, you was asking me, I told you I'm all over the place. But the Lord showed me something about about just things and generational curses. When we talk about that and favor and everything that we're talking about, favor, and you gave the scriptures about favor and everyone has favor, but if general curses, and it normally talks about family, if your family is known for this and we got to break the cycle, that's pretty much when we talk about that. And I'm saying that I'm a seed of Abraham and buck stop with me. And the way I look at it, and the thing about it is this, not that you grew up in the church, but there's a lot of generational curses in the church. The people doing church, going to church next Sunday is one of the biggest generational, that everyone go to church on Easter. It's a habit. They go to church on Easter. They get a new Easter outfit. They go to church. You hear these little kids do these little plays. And yet and still, right after the play is over, the very next Sunday, they fall right back in the same route that they were in. It's the same thing. It's religion. So my thing is this. When you do go to church, you should go to church every Sunday with the same attitude. You know, and I'm so glad because I got some preachers listening because I see them on my line from my home state. So you know I'm about to go a little crazy. You know, you teach them certain things and you teach them this, you teach them that. You go to church on Easter, get a new outfit, give them some eggs, some jelly beans, and they go on separate way. And maybe, you know, you shout because it's Easter and because the Calvary cross and all of that, and he got up, and every church is doing that. And it's the same thing every year after year after year after year. One day. We talk about the resurrection. One day, everyone get these Easter plates. Boom. Everyone will have the best kids program one day. And you ask yourself, why is church so weak? You give them one day. We talk about it one day, and that's it. You throw them back to the curb.
And then not just with that, you get people with titles. I'm an elder, or I'm a deacon, or I'm this, or I'm that. They get these titles, and on these certain Sundays, they get up and they put their little call suits, shirts on, and they get up. But yet, are they really serving? No. They ain't doing nothing. They playing a part. That's a curse. We won't keep it. Let's keep it real. Let's not just talk about the family. Let's take it to the church, because a lot of things that goes on in the church that has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with repentance. It has nothing to do with what he did on Calvary's cross. It's all a bunch of cliches. And you can cliche yourself straight to hell, just like you can drink yourself straight to hell. You can smoke yourself straight to hell. And we play church. So if we want to say generational, okay. But if you are born again and you know what Christ did for you, and we getting ready to close, and you have it on the inside, it ain't just for show. You will be willing to make sacrifices. You will fast. You will pray. You will repent when you do wrong. You will not be a hell raiser. You will do what God has called you to do. Then there's a difference. I got a lot of people that I know that are pastors and preachers that they lining up. And they nickel and dime themselves to hell. And hopefully one Sunday they'll get it together and they'll repent. Homosexuals leading this, doing that, flirting around here, got other baby mamas around the corner. And these people that's behind the pulpit. And then we want to get up and act intelligent and like we got it all together. No, you just plan. That's why there's no power in the church. And I'm just, you know, you want to keep it real. That's where I'm going. That's where I want to go right now. But I was told we had to be off at 8 o'clock tonight. So tomorrow we have Bible study, Praise Tabernacle Bible study, Bishop Omar Zachary, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and the Bible study team from Praise Tabernacle will be on at 11 p.m. tomorrow, same time. Again, we just want to thank everyone for listening. Again, I can't explain how we get over 56, 58, whatever the number is, over 50,000 listeners every month. Thank you. We appreciate you. I can't explain it. It's just the favor of God. Despite of what we go through on a daily basis, God is in control, because I'm going to make sure that I can't speak for my wife, that I am in line with the Lord, that I have to keep my eyes on him and look at things the way he wants me to look at them, and not the way the world wants me to look at them. As long as I'm good, my family will be good. And that's really all I got to say for the rest of the night. But them generational stuff, and to me, it's just people making excuses. It's just people making excuses. Either you are or you're not. Either you will or you won't. It's just that simple. And again, if I'm going to give y'all some homework, we are the seed of Abraham. We are Christ-like. I am a child of the King. There is no such thing as a curse. Now, if you're living in the world, I don't know what they do in Louisiana and the mother little crazy states and what they do and who they be praying to and all that other. Nah, I don't know about all of that. That may be, that let them handle that. But as far as me and what I've read and what I believe, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm good. And as long as I repent, I'm good. Can't no one say nothing about my past. Now, if you want to talk about my brothers and my cousins and all of them, I ain't got nothing to do with all that over there. I'm only worried about me and my family. If they know the way of Jesus Christ, then that's fine. Some of my family know the way of cliches. They think if they cliche themselves, they're going to go right to heaven without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Been in church a long time, and you can see it. You can see it. No power nowhere. But they know how to entertain. But we'll talk about that later on. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Father God. We just want to say thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be here, Father God. Father God, first and foremost, if there's anything in me or my wife that is not
unto your liking. We ask you to forgive us for it, Father God. Father God, we ask that you clean us up first, Father God. Father God, I ask you to touch each and every one of the listeners, Father God, that they may have heard something, got something out of this that they can go back and have a conversation about, but not only that, that they can grow in, Father God, and something that they can learn in your name, Father God. Father God, we just ask you to just watch over each and every one of us right now, each and every one of these households right now, Father God, for those that tuned in and listened, Father God. Father God, I ask you to watch over my family right now, Father God. I ask you to watch over my wife, Father God. Watch over our kids, Father God, grandkids, Father God. Watch over our mothers right now, Father God. Father God, is that continue to bless us, continue to lead us, and continue to guide us. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we'll be on tomorrow night. Praise Time Rapper Bible Study, 7 p.m., same time. It'll be a great word being taught on tomorrow night, and we just ask that you just to pray with us and continue to support us. Just by you picking up the phone, dialing this number, you just don't know how much good you're doing. You really don't know. If you weren't able to pick up the phone today, pick up the phone tomorrow, just dial the number and just listen. Because if you listen to enough word, I'm guaranteeing you, you will grow. You will spiritually grow. And then, you know, I'm just asking, continue to support us. And with that being said, we are out. Thank you, and we'll be back next Monday. Y'all have a happy Easter. Don't eat too many eggs. Don't get too full off them jelly beans. And let everybody know the real reason of what this Sunday is about. We should have been doing it prior to this. You know what? I forgot to say something about something. Ooh, I got to go. It's 8:01. I got to go. But next week I will talk about traditional church. And I'm so glad we're not in a traditional church. I meant to bring that up, but we'll talk about that next week. But that being said, we're out. I'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Good night.
Good night.